Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 75. This episode is brought to you by Zalman. Go to thinkcomputers.org/Zalman and check out what they got. We all know Zalman. Zalman makes some awesome products. So definitely check them out. Support them. Support us. Support the podcast. With us, as always, and that's for sure, is Bob. What's up, Bob?
Nothing, man. It's Friday. Yeah. It's the end of the week. Trying to finish all this stuff out and, you know, try to, like I said, we're getting to like these last, I wouldn't say the last few, but, you know, summer's getting down to the end here, so.
Yeah, it's dwindling away.
But the thing to look forward to at the end of summer is all the new products coming out for holiday season, so that's exciting.
Yeah, for sure.
So we'll have a lot of cool stuff coming out, and like all the deals, and like Black Friday, and like Cyber Monday, and
it's
whatever
still a good
else.
Time of year. It's just not the same.
Yeah, it's definitely not the same as summer. And if you're like us and live anywhere where you actually have a winter, it's not fun at all. No.
But it's not really bad until like December, January.
Yeah. And like sometimes we have these like light winters, you know, it's not really bad, but we'll just have to see. So anyways, let's jump right into reviews this week. And we each took a look at a product, and we'll start with the product that you took a look at, which is Corsair's ML120 Pro LED fans.
Yeah. So we reviewed these, and then we actually had to re-review them because it turns out these are the ML stands for magnetic levitation, right? And so that means that the rotor or the fan blade actually floats above the motor of the fan using magnets, which is kind of obvious, right? It's right in the name. But what we didn't know or realize was that it requires a PWM, a 4-pin connection, because it needs a constant 12 volt to actually maintain that levitation, and then it uses the other pins to change the fan speed with voltage. So I had it hooked up to a traditional fan controller, and they did good. They were they made a bunch of noise because they literally weren't like levitating correctly. So we re-reviewed them, retested them, and they still did really good. They just were really, really quiet for us. Five out of six were really quiet. I still had one that made some ticking, and so I didn't. That was a little unfortunate, but it was still a really solid fan. They're really heavy, actually, which was a little bit of a surprise when I saw them. I don't think I've seen a fan or that's this heavy, and I've actually tested or used quite a few fans. But that just means that they're solid. Weight doesn't really matter that much, obviously. And that's a good looking fan. I mean, it's just, like I said, it's the solid body, with the corners are all, like there's three different colors. So you've got blue, white, and red, and that's the corners where they attach to the case or your radiator is where the colors are at. And they're actually swappable, so you can pull those off and change.
Okay. Yeah. So you can change all that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, those corners. And then they're LED as well. So but the thing about the LEDs is it's like an opaque blade, and then it's got the LEDs inside the motor itself, and so the light has to come out from the inside, and it's not nearly as bright as a lot of fans we see.
Okay, so it's not like the ones you see with the LEDs on in the actual frame.
No, there's no LEDs in the frame, so that's why it just kind of colors the blade, which it's a sort of a cool effect, I guess, but at the same time, don't expect these to light up your case at all.
And these are these specifically made for water cooling, or are they just like an overall fan?
It's supposed to be an all-arounder, yeah. So as far as performance goes, they did good. We put them up against some Thermaltake fans, ring fans, and they were about even. I mean, it's kind of what you expect. Both are high-end fans, so gotcha. You're gonna expect them to be right near each other. They have really high static pressure at their full speed, and they also have quite a high CFM rating. So you can use them for both radiator and for air cooling, I would say. And they're pretty quiet.
Nice.
Pretty much all the way up to the highest setting, and then at that point, I've never seen a fan that, you know, wasn't kind of obnoxious at its height.
Yeah, I think any fan, when you pump it all the way up, is just going to sound pretty bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. And how much are these per fan?
Oh, they're right about $30. And so that was a, kind of a drawback, too, because, yeah, actually, Amazon has them for $28 right now.
Okay. So that's, like, in the sort of kind of high-end fan
it's
range.
It's definitely in the high-end fan range. And it's, especially since they're actually, I would say they're more targeted for water cooling. That's going to make it more of an issue because, I mean, some water cooling rigs, you're talking, like, 15 fans.
Yeah.
And that's a serious investment.
Yeah, I think a lot of those high-end fans are like that, you know, especially if you're going to do a push-pull, know, front and top, and then you have whatever else it may be. I mean, that's just going to be a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, cool. So, well,
it's a good fan. It's a good effort by Corsair. I liked them.
So. Nice. I took a look at a networking product, which is one that I feel a lot of people can make use of because, you know, if you live in a house, or even like I live in an apartment, but it's an older building that has like these super thick concrete walls.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you do hook up your internet and your router and your wireless, you have Wi-Fi dead zones. It happens. Like, you know, Wi-Fi just can't get to where you want it to get, or it's just really weak in certain spots. Like in my kitchen, it is extremely weak and it's hard to like even listen to Pandora when I'm in there, which is, you know, it's just annoying. And like, I don't want to use my data on my phone. Like, you know, so, Amp Wireless sent us their REC22P, which is their plug-in AC1200 Wi-Fi range extender. And this is actually a pretty nice range extender. So basically what a range extender does, if you don't know, is that you place this in between your dead zone and your router, and it connects to your router and extends that network. So you actually have coverage in the places where you normally wouldn't have coverage. And this one worked really, really well. Super easy to set up. Some of these can be really complicated. But again, a lot of these devices are made for people who aren't necessarily computer people like us. So easy setup. It does have a pass-through power port. So when I plug it in, I don't lose that power port. It also has a powered USB port, so I can, you know, charge my phone, charge tablet easily. And it has a gigabit Ethernet port. So on some, you know, like some devices do not have wireless. They're either older or you would rather have the wired connection just because I like all my PCs are wired just because I want the wired connection. But even for like an older console or something like that, that doesn't have the wireless capability, this has built-in gigabit Ethernet, so you can use it as, you know, to connect a device like that as well. Performance was really good, except for the 2.4 gigahertz range was kind of weird for me. It was really, really slow a lot of the time, and I couldn't figure it out. I tested a couple different systems, and it just wouldn't, I don't know, it was just slower than I expected, and it was slower than my router's 2.4 gigahertz. So that was an issue. But besides that, and if you're going to be using the 5 gigahertz range, it doesn't matter because that performed perfectly. So if you're not going to be using 2.4 gigahertz, it's not a huge deal. And again, this is one of the range extenders that has the extras like the gigabit Ethernet, the pass-through power, and the USB power. And again, it is super easy to set up. So I definitely would recommend it. Just, you know, see if you have that 2.4 gigahertz issue that I had.
Yeah, that's strange.
Yeah, it was weird. I couldn't figure it out. But besides that, like I said, really good, decently priced. I think it's $89.99. And it has some cool stuff. Like you can put both bands together when the signal is traveling back to the router. There's some other cool stuff you can do as well. Mm-hmm. And it has a lot of different features too. Like you can set schedules, you can, you know, everything you can do on a router you can pretty much do on this as well. So if you want to, you know, block MAC addresses or whatever, set schedules if you have children and this is kind of like their extender for their room, you can set a schedule where they can't access the internet, all that kind of stuff. So
that's quite a bit more function than you normally see on a range extender.
Yeah, and it has WPS, so for the people that it's just hard to remember a password or anything like that, it does have WPS, so I have to do is select WPS on Windows 10 and then hit the button on the actual device and it will instantly connect you. You don't have to worry about passwords or anything.
Sweet.
So yeah. So I would definitely take a look at that. And they have a couple other range extenders that are actually pretty cool too. So if you're looking for one, check out Amp Wireless.
Nice.
Yes. So that brings us to Case Mod Friday, and I have another mod that it's not a huge, like, crazy mod, but it's so well done, I think, and it's another build in the Cooler Master Master Case 5 Maker case. Yeah. And that's, I just like that case so much.
Their competition series.
This is from another competition series in, I forget which country because I couldn't translate it. but it was okay. For like a mod off, and I think everybody used the same case. And this one is super, super cool because it's just, it's a solid, clean build. And on top of that, it uses all Aqua Tuning and Alpha Cool water cooling.
Nice.
And that's something we don't see a whole lot.
No.
And like literally everything is Alpha Cool on this.
Yeah.
A lot of times. Yeah. A lot of times we see some Alpha Cool stuff and it's kind of mixed match, but this everything.
Yeah. Mostly you see their radiators because their copper core radiators
are yeah.
Like on point, but.
Yeah. So it's this black coolant, which is different.
Yeah. It's actually hard to get it to be that black. You have to really work with it.
Yeah, so black coolant, hard tubing, obviously custom water cooling loop here. So just a little bit of paint, not something crazy. Fans are painted, like, you know.
Yeah, you can see he did the motherboard tray in like a gold speckle. Like he like flicked the paintbrush, right?
Yeah.
But it's so much of it's covered up, you can barely see it. Because he also did the thing that caught me first was he also did the pump body.
Yep.
And I was like, well, that's odd that he just did the pump body, but it actually, you can see that it goes to the back of the motherboard tray, but so that's pretty cool. But I kind of find that if you do that, you need to do that a little bit more strongly than was presented here, but
yeah, it would be nice to see it all over the inside of the case, like the entire inside.
Yeah.
But still, I like I said, I like it because it's so clean. And again, most of what's done here is not all that hard.
No,
you know,
not terribly difficult.
Yeah, and
it's just got really, really good taste because he doesn't overdo it with the gold.
Yeah, it doesn't overdo it with the gold. It's very, it's not often you see like heavy black builds that actually look really good, and I think this one does.
Yeah, I think it's the use of so much matte.
Yes,
the matte just it does something different with the light, and it just looks it comes off well.
Yeah.
I think he probably painted the Alpha Cool on the GPU blocks, I'm thinking, because that's blue. And on the radiators, that's blue.
So he repainted that. I think he did repaint all those as well.
Mostly paint on this, then. It's a cool, that's a custom PSU shroud, I believe, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a cool design. I've not seen it done that specific way with two panels joined. Must be there's some, like, a block or something of metal or wood right behind it that the screws go into. It looks good.
Yeah, it looks really good. Like I said, just clean. Just really clean. And, one of my, like I said, another really good build in this case, which doesn't get a whole lot of exposure for builds. So,
yeah.
Definitely like it. Definitely check it out. It's called the Maker 5, and it's from 7-6 Mods. And we featured a good amount of their mods before, so definitely check that out. And definitely check out Case Mod Friday section of the site, because there are a ton of mods in there. We feature one every Friday, and it's just a good way to, you know, get some inspiration and see what you can, you know, build or just see what's out there, really.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes. So we'll move on to news, and there's not a terrible amount of news this week, but there is some cool stuff. The first thing is that NVIDIA did, in fact, roll out their GTX 1060 3GB, and it does, in fact, have fewer CUDA cores. So this card was basically put out to directly compete with the RX 480 at $199. This card will be $199. So it only has 1,152 of the 1,280 CUDA cores present on the silicon. Obviously, it has, instead of 6GB, it has 3GB. There's also fewer TMUs and fewer ROPs, so you have 72 TMUs and 48 ROPs. And the card has core clock speed of 1,506 MHz with GPU boost up to 1,708 MHz, and the memory is at 8GHz, which is GDDR5 effective. This is made specifically for gamers who want a game in 1080p, and it does not support SLI. Just like the other 1060. So this is I think this is a good way to compete directly at the exact same price point.
Yeah, definitely. It's just another kind of performance dedicated card that we're seeing.
Yeah, and it's interesting that this is one of the times that we see NVIDIA not just cut the memory down, but they actually, you know, disabled...
limited the cores.
Limited the cores and everything like that. So, but I think they had to have enough performance difference between the 6GB and the 3GB to make it worth getting at $199.
Yeah, that's one thing. The other thing is that more than likely they were able to use lower yielding dies, right?
With
fewer active cores still present on them. So this probably helped them clear out some what would have been unusable inventory.
For sure. So if you are you know, in that price range, this is a card to definitely look at, because those would be your two choices, really. So yeah, so if you're looking for that, definitely check it out. I don't know which route I would go. I really think I would go the NVIDIA route on that.
Would you? Over the AMD cards?
We're gonna talk about it here in a second. The RX 480 does have specific issues. And the only reason I would get the RX 480 is because I could put them in Crossfire if I decide to get another one.
Yeah.
And I would have
I think that this next piece of news though is actually it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. So we'll talk about it. So the AMD RX 480 was removed from the PCI SIG integrator list. And what that integrator list is, it's a list of hardware devices that implement PCI Express specifications to the letter. Which basically, it's like a certification almost that you get that allows you to put PCI Express branding on your product. And you know, you go through the certification and everything, so you are able to put that branding, you know, it's a PCI Express card on your product. Well, we talked about it a month ago.
I'd say
a month ago, where the RX 480 had an overpower issue where it actually drew more power than its 150-watt budget that is for the card. So that puts it
through the Express slot.
Yeah. So that puts it out of the PCI Express specification. So PCI SIG or PCI SIG, they took the RX 480 off the list, and that means that they cannot have the PCI Express branding on their product or their marketing materials or anything.
Which basically means that it's not guaranteed to function correctly with your PCI Express slot.
Yeah. That's kind of a big deal. Now, it's not all RX 480s. It's the AMD-specific ones. So other vendors who have their own sub-vendor ID and the power design complies with PCI Express specifications, they're fine, which is pretty much every custom card out there.
Yeah, I would expect
that. There hasn't been any reports of custom cards having the power issue. It's only the AMD card.
Which, it really comes down to the fact that they threw a 6-pin on it,
yeah,
and that's it. It needed more power than that.
Yep. So, AMD did fix the power issue with a software update, but it's still, you know, the other ones don't. It's, you know, you need the software update to fix the problem, and that's not the way it should be when it comes to hardware.
Yeah, they don't ship within specs, so they can't be certified then.
Yeah, so I think it's a big deal.
I think it's the first time I've ever seen this.
Yes.
Have you ever seen it? I mean,
I've never seen a graphics card got kicked off that list where they can't say that it was not PCI Express certified, or you know what I mean?
I don't know how you let this get by you as AMD. Like,
yeah, it's a pretty big blunder. I mean, we've seen some pretty big blunders in the past couple years when it comes to graphics cards. You had the GTX 970 issue with NVIDIA.
Yeah.
You know,
They're getting too far down the pipeline and then finding the problem and they're not wanting to backtrack.
I think that, and I think that they're rushing out products to compete with each other or be the next big thing or get the news, you know what I mean?
making concessions or taking lower quality hits when they shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal if you own one of these cards. I think the real problem is, and we mentioned this when we did the other podcast, is that it can effectively burn out your motherboard through the PCI Express slot. That's where your problem comes in.
Yeah. And if you're unaware, and if you don't, if you're not really a tech person, you don't, because it was all over the news, you know, when this happened, you don't even know. And the next thing you know, your motherboard's blown, your graphics card could be blown, you know, it could blow out your power supply at the same time, and your whole system could be fried.
And the person that doesn't know is totally the one that's going to, they're going to get the card, they're going to use the CD to install the drivers.
Yeah.
And then that, you know, so they won't have the latest driver.
Windows 10 should update the driver, but
doesn't mean they're on Windows 10.
Yeah, most people should be.
I don't know.
Anyways, but yeah, so I think it's really interesting, and as you said, I think it's the first time that it's ever been taken off. A product has been taken off that list. So yeah. Also, talking about graphics card news, apparently. Samsung will be die shrinking NVIDIA's Pascal GPUs down to 14 nanometer. So they're on 16 nanometer right now. And this is interesting because we don't know if they're going to completely like die shrink the entire Pascal series, or this is just for new cards that could be coming out. Like, we don't know.
Are they going to like suddenly start, like if you buy down the production line, you're going to wind up with one that's got the die shrink on it, or?
Yeah, I think, because NVIDIA did this way back in when they went from 65 nanometer to 55 nanometer. They did it in complete die shrink series wide. So you did have older ones that were on 65, and then, you know, newer ones that were on 55.
Yeah. Kind of confuses things for the aftermarket business.
Yes, very much so. And we don't know, if this is just going to be the series-wide or just, you know, a couple new cards that they might have in the pipeline. Like, we don't know. But apparently Samsung has got the contract to do it. So they will be doing the fab.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they, you know, if there is a slight performance increase with the going down to nanometers.
Yeah. I would guess not, that it's more just prep for the next series, do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's prep for the next series, and I don't think NVIDIA's pushing anything else new as far as new architecture yet, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I think it could be just, you could be right, it could just be prep for the new series, and, you know, it could just be a marketing thing too. Oh, we're on 14 nanometer now, like, you know.
Yeah, whether it does anything or not.
Yeah. So, who knows? But, like I said, Samsung did get the contract, so buy your Samsung stock.
Well, it's probably too late now.
Yeah. So, the big... I would say this would be the biggest story of this week, is that AMD had an event in San Francisco this week where they first publicly showed off the new Zen CPU. And it's pretty impressive, I think. First, the Zen core did achieve that 40% generational improvement in instructions per clock. This is something we've seen in slides from AMD for the past, 6 months?
Yeah.
You know, that was sort of a big thing that they were claiming and nobody knew, but it was shown at this event. So it does have
40... By demonstration. Right.
Yeah, by demonstration, it was shown. It wasn't just like, oh, this is what it does. No, it was shown to do that. So that's pretty big, because you never see that big of an increase over a previous generation when it comes to CPUs. You just don't.
Clock, that kind of a change.
Yeah, and the second thing, which, you know, is another huge deal, is that AMD demonstrated their 8-core, 16-thread Summit Ridge desktop processor against Intel Broadwell E 8-core, 16-thread processor, and the AMD chip actually beat it in a multi-threaded Blender rendering software test. And both CPUs were set at the same speed, all that kind of stuff.
It's very surprising to me, honestly.
Yeah.
Enough that, well, and I want to say, okay, I don't believe it, but if it was a live test and there's live video of it, right?
Yeah, there's live video out there of the test. I think the guys over at Hot Hardware have it because they were there. But yeah, I mean, it that sounds very, very enticing, and it's good to see this, I think. But we talked about it before the podcast. The biggest thing with this is that Broadwell E, the processor that they had, is already out, and it's been out. And Zen is not out yet, and we won't see Zen till next year, probably. And by that time...
a bit into next year, right?
Yeah. By that time, Intel will probably be down to 10 nanometer, and their high-end desktop will be down to...
I don't know.
But the new high-end desktop would be coming out as well, which could easily beat this. So while it might, AMD's processor might beat it now, by the time it comes out, it will be behind.
Yeah.
You know.
And then, yeah, so hopefully they have something else in the pipes.
Yeah, so we don't know. But it's good to see it. It's good to see the you know, you're not just getting a slight increase in performance. It's very, very, very big increase in performance. Yeah. And if you guys didn't know, like, Zen was completely built from the ground up. It's like completely clean slate, you know, all new architecture, everything. Yeah.
It's pretty critical for them to have done that. That's cool.
Yeah. And so these new chips from AMD will be built on the AM4 platform, and AMD went over this at the event too. And the new features, new technology features, which AMD users have been missing out on because all of us Intel guys, we have all this stuff, but yeah. You'll get DDR4 memory, PCI Express Gen 3.0, USB 3.1 Gen 2, NVMe, and SATA Express. Again, all stuff that we've had for a while.
Are they sure?
Yeah. Yeah, there has been issues with the USB on the boards, which we talked about, I would say, a couple podcasts ago. So, yeah. More information on this comes out, but it's good to see that they showed it live. They showed it that it does have that type of performance. It's not all just, you know, in their slide decks and everything. So,
I think that the best news from this is that, not the best news, but a good thing for AMD here is that you've got a competitive chip. Extremely competitive chip, and this should get a lot of attention from board partners to build, you know, do a sexy looking board, because that's one of the things that AMD's lacked. The boards have been boring and featureless, and now they have the chance to be like right there as far as boards and everything goes.
Yeah, I think that this will, you know, give them that kind of be like, okay, this is a platform that a lot more people are going to get onto and going to use, so let's build these boards that a lot of people like. And to be fair, a lot of the boards that have come out in the past year have been pretty nice boards. Like Asus has AMD ROG boards, MSI has their gaming boards for AMD, but they lack a lot of modern components. And that's what we're going to see with all these new ones. So, you know,
I don't think they get nearly as much attention and design time.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, I mean, there's no way as a board manufacturer that you would put as many resources into an AMD product.
Yeah,
it would be absurd. So,
yeah. So that is very, very exciting. Like I said, the biggest news of this week, in my opinion. So we'll definitely keep you updated on all of the AMD Zen news, and hopefully we'll see it sooner than later. Probably later, though.
Yeah, it'll be.
Yeah, so Cooler Master announced a very interesting CPU cooler this week. This was another one of the big stories this week. And it is called the Master Liquid Maker 92. And this is sort of a hybrid cooler. I don't even know how you want to explain this. This is basically a liquid-cooled CPU cooler that is designed as a tower CPU cooler. So the radiator is actually part of the CPU cooler. So imagine a traditional tower CPU cooler, air cooler, but it's liquid cooled, and the most of it is the radiator.
Yeah, they basically built a bracket to mount a small radiator with the pump attached on top of the CPU, and it swivels.
Yes. I can't imagine. I could say that this would be on par with some cheap air coolers. I can't imagine this outperforming a high-end Noctua or a high-end Cryo Rig. I just can't see it, and I don't know how much this is.
It's gonna be I bet it's like $100.
Yeah.
Or does it say? No, it doesn't say.
I'm seeing if the pre-order is here. It just doesn't tell you the price. Pre-order. Yeah. I can't imagine this doing better. And if you look at Cooler Master's track record, or anybody's track record with, you know, all the AIOs that we test, even the 240mm AIOs perform at the same level as a high-end air cooler a lot of the time.
Yeah, very similar, if a little bit better, but yeah. Very similar. Just so, quieter, usually, that's the key.
Yeah, and I can't imagine, this has two 92mm fans on it.
It's going to be atrociously loud.
Yeah, so I don't know if this was just like a design thing, and they're like, oh, we'll just put it out, we don't know.
Yeah, I think it's ugly.
Yeah, I think, and that's the thing too, is this is going to sit in your system, and it doesn't look good either.
No.
It
looks a bit better with the radiator flipped horizontally.
Yes.
But... yeah, I don't know why in their presentation picture they've got the fan blowing down through the radiator, like, onto the motherboard. Like, yeah, there you go, blow the hot air right onto it.
Yeah, and this could have
had... the only way it can mount. Oh.
This could have had RGB fans in it to make it look better. I mean, there's a lot of improvements on this.
Yep.
And I don't assume it's super easy to mount either.
With it vertical, you can probably just hold it. But
still, it's a lot to hold.
It looks like the same mounting bracket that I've seen recently, and I'm guessing that there's no other improvements. It's probably a huge pain to mount.
Yeah, so maybe this was just kind of a concept, and they just put it out.
And they just produced it anyways.
Yeah, so, well, whenever...
it's gotten some press.
Yeah, this definitely got some press. I would love to see performance.
Yeah. It's just, it's smaller than a 120, because it's a 92mm fan.
Yes.
And a 120 radiator, and this is going to be pretty thin. It'll be as thin as the latest one that I've tested, at least. It's not thick. It's a 120 all-in-one cooler really doesn't perform amazingly well. It'll definitely get beat out by, like, a Noctua or a Cryo Rig.
Yeah.
So
yeah. It's a cool concept, but I think that for being a real effective product, it's very far off.
It's right along the lines with a lot of what Cooler Master is doing, and that they're trying to reinvent and do new things.
So yeah,
it's certainly a good effort, but I think that it was just something that didn't need to be built. Seems to me.
I agree. So when the reviews come out, we'll let you know. We don't think we're getting one to review, so.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. Yeah, just interesting. It's cool design, but it's not practical, and that's the sad part.
Yeah.
So we'll move on to gaming, and we have a couple of cool gaming things. One I think is super cool is that Spotify launched, if you don't know what Spotify is, it's a online streaming for music. You should know, because it's pretty much the one that everybody uses. Like, I mean, I don't know anybody that doesn't use Spotify.
You're not using Spotify by now. I mean, it's been out for like 4 years.
Yeah. It's the best way to stream music for free. You can pay for it without having ads, but it's pretty much amazing. Yeah. So they launched...
you can go mobile with it if you pay, too.
Yeah, you can go mobile with it if you pay and all that kind of stuff. But they launched a new portal for video game music called Spotify Gamers. So the URL is spotify-gaming.com. And it has... for one, it has a lot of gaming soundtracks. So if you have favorite games that you play through and just love the soundtrack, there's literally hundreds on here.
Yeah.
There's some really, really good stuff. They have all of the Halo soundtracks, Mega Man soundtracks, Mirror's Edge, which is an amazing soundtrack, Grand Theft Auto, Fable, which is an amazing soundtrack. I mean, there's a ton on there that you can go through. And they also have curated playlists from professional gamers on there, playlists to get you pumped to play video games or while you're playing. I think it's really cool. I think a lot of these companies are realizing that gaming, esports, is a huge thing, and this is a way to get more people interested in their product by creating these creating this portal and curating all of these soundtracks. I think it's really cool, and I think the thing is gaming soundtracks are really hard to find if you want somebody who wants to buy physical media, or even like a lot of these soundtracks aren't even on iTunes for you to buy, you know. A lot of the stuff's hard to find, and this is just, you can go on there and it's in alphabetical order, or you can just search and, you know, it will have a lot of the games that you remember playing and the amazing soundtracks you can just listen to for free.
Yeah. Now, I had a lot of trouble finding this. Like, I actually never did find it in the actual app.
I couldn't find it in the app either.
Okay, so that's strange.
Yeah, I think they might have launched it and then maybe they'll integrate it into the app.
I hope so, because browse is probably the number one page that I use, you know?
Yeah.
For the most part, I just, like, let them suggest music to me.
Let's see here. If I go into browse and we go into genres, is there gaming in here? Workout. Oh, there's gaming. Okay, but there's just popular playlists. There's not, like... Okay, no, original game soundtracks.
Okay.
Okay, they might have put it in here now, because when I first looked, it wasn't there. So all the original game soundtracks are in here. The website actually lets you search, and not all of them are in here. Yeah, search alphabetically and allows you to just search through the soundtracks with your own. Like, you know, when you search on this, it will only search the soundtracks.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so...
There's not very many in here, actually.
Yeah, in the actual Spotify app, there's not a whole lot. So I think it's something they're working on, but I do like it. I think it's cool. I think, you know, I'm just looking through this on the actual app, like Watch Dogs soundtrack, Call of Duty, you know, Bastion, which is an amazing soundtrack. I actually have that game, and the soundtrack's amazing. You know, just a lot of cool stuff. Command & Conquer Red Alert, Broforce soundtrack, that's pretty awesome. You know, a lot of cool stuff on here. Far Cry soundtrack. You know, I think it's cool. I think that I do like a lot of gaming music, and some of these soundtracks are pretty awesome. Yeah. So definitely check it out. Just spotify-gaming.com, and there's a ton of soundtracks in there.
Ooh, Crysis.
Yeah, there's Crysis. I think they have a bunch of, like, all the Crysises they have.
Nice.
Yeah. And our last bit of gaming news is a big deal if you play Pokemon Go, which
still playing that?
I think a lot of people are still playing it.
Okay.
So there have been ways to cheat in the game. Obviously with a game that has this much exposure and this many players, and it's sort of like a phenomenon right now, there's going to be cheaters. Just like with any game, there's always cheaters, and they ruin things for everybody else and just make it not fair. So the developer behind the game, I can't never say their name right.
Niantic?
Yeah, Niantic. You know, when you cheated before, it would be like a 2-hour ban or 3-hour ban or day ban or whatever. But now they're saying if you cheat, you're permanently banned, which I think is a good thing. I think Blizzard does this with their games, and I think it makes it a better place to play those type of games. And I think that this is just another way to do it. And like I said, a lot of people do like GPS spoofing, bots and things like this in this game, so they can level up their character while they're not actually really playing. You know, so I think this is just a good stance. And again, Blizzard is one of the biggest game companies out there, and they have this exact same stance on all of their games, I believe.
Okay.
So, you know, it's good to see another company just say, listen, you cheat, you're done.
Yeah, I don't have any patience for cheaters. A certain game that I play is just, like, infested with cheaters, and it's so obnoxious.
Yeah, especially when you're just trying to have a good time, and it's just, you know, it's just not cool. Well, I don't know.
I mean, you know who's cheating, and, like, a lot of times there's nothing you can do at the time, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you're ruining this. You're absolutely ruining it.
Yeah, so like I said, good stance by them. Hopefully we see more games and more companies kind of follow suit. Just your band. Like, there's no room for cheating in this day and age, you know what I mean?
Right. I agree completely.
Yeah. So if you do play Pokemon, do not cheat.
They're coming after you.
Yes. So that brings us to what we have coming next week. And we have two Cooler Master products. The first one is the one you've been working on. And this is their Master Liquid Pro 240. That is their brand new 240 millimeter all-in-one liquid cooler.
Yes.
And it looks... Is it actually that blue, the LED?
It's super blue.
Okay, well, that's, I mean, I like it. I was just wondering if it was actually, like, really bright.
It, I mean, it's not super bright, don't get me wrong, but it's about, like, how that picture... This is CG, or,
It's like a render.
The whole thing is a render, yeah. It's, it is like that color, though. It's about the same.
Okay. It's just one.
It's a good, well-built cooler.
Cool. And they've, had to really redo their cooling designs because they were sued.
Yes.
By Aztec. So it's good to see them kind of come back with a new set of
unique, their own design.
Yes.
So it's a brand new pump. They're a unique pump design. Nobody's ever done it this way. Do you want me to get into it now? Or
No, we'll wait for the review.
Okay.
But just definitely stay tuned for that. And then I will be taking a look at a Cooler Master gaming product, which I cannot tell you about because it launches next week.
Okay.
But it's very cool. It is very affordable, so that should give you a hint of what it is. But I'll be taking a look at that, and then I'll be taking a look at thermal. I don't know if this should not be NDA'd, but I'm not specifically sure. But I think it'll be. They showed it at Computex, so I don't think I'm breaking any NDAs. But it's the Thermaltake Core P3. This is the kind of like the revised version of the original Core P5 that came out. I don't know when that came out, but that is their very, very, very popular standing system that has the glass panel in the front. This is kind of their revision. The revision allows for you to install AIOs, which was a big deal. Mostly you could install liquid cooling, but it would have to be a custom loop. Most AIOs would not stretch and not fit, so this is made to fit AIOs. And they've made specific spots for SSDs on the back, and they've made it a little bit smaller. So this is just kind of like a revised version. So I'll have that for you as well. That's basically it, man. Okay, I got kind of tired Friday.
Got to the end of the podcast, and Bob fell right asleep.
That's just one of those days, man. Did you do anything this week? Fun?
Oh, shoot.
Play any games?
Mm-mm.
Me neither.
I want to say I did something, though, but I don't remember. No, pretty fast week.
It did. The week did go really fast, and that's kind of sad because all of these, like, as we get out of summer, all these weeks are going by so, so quickly.
Yeah. It's starting to get dark sooner, and...
Yeah. I went to West Virginia this past weekend. That was a lot of fun.
Nice. Some boating.
Some boating, wakeboarding, kind of fun, jumping off cliffs.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was my weekend, and then I just worked on Think Computer stuff. So, but as always, guys, we will have a full show notes page. So as we go through all of this, you can click through. You know, we talk about the Pokemon thing. You can click to our actual article and all our reviews and all of that stuff. And if you have any questions about the podcast or want to comment, on every page we do have comments, so you can go ahead and do that. So until next week, catch you guys later.